Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. Yesterday we talked some NFL and the top of the draft order and the way teams were, I guess, tanking. We were kind of misunderstood yesterday.
Yes. Should be tanking.
Sort of, but okay, so in my perspective anyway, I don't want to speak for you. We had some backlash on Twitter today. I don't know how much you saw it. But
no, I never have any backlash. All my takes are correct.
Well, I'm not saying you were even incorrect. Maybe these people were incorrect.
Of course I wasn't.
The way that they articulated, or the way that they understood what we said on the podcast, was they thought we were pro-tanking, basically. And I know you're probably going to say you were, maybe. Like, from a team perspective, there's more to it. From, like, obviously, encouraging a losing culture is bad for the other guys that are on the team right now. We just meant from a draft perspective, the best thing you can do for yourself, without question, is to lose once you're completely out of it. Now, I'm not saying proactively go and sabotage things, but, like, yeah, get looks at younger guys. Don't play hurt older guys. Like, you know, smart things. Like, I don't think any players on your roster are going to hate that idea. Once you're out of it, you know, I'm not saying when you're, you know, 4-6 or something, but, like, yeah, when you're 2-10, sure. Like, so anyway,
John Gruden's getting paid $10 million a year this year to tank.
That is very true, and probably next year as well.
So, traded away his best player on defense and his best player on offense. Okay,
imagine,
and he's getting paid $10 million to do it.
Imagine. I can't wait till Obi Melifonwu goes off for the Patriots in the playoffs. I can't wait. You know, a pick six is coming. It's just been that kind of year.
They were, well, okay. So people were saying that, like, we were advocating for teams to tank before they're out of it? Is that what they were saying?
Yeah. Well, just in general, they didn't really understand, I guess, and we probably weren't clear. Like, we were just kind of joking around about tanking a lot, and some people may not know that, like, we're just really, like, sarcastic on the podcast. We don't literally mean teams should, like, proactively try and lose. Like,
oh,
you know what happens in the NBA? I mean, maybe, yeah, maybe you did mean that, but...
Listen, the Bucks 100% tanked their last game to get Jameis Winston. It happened. I've got it.
You said that, right? You said that on the pod, but what specifically?
They literally benched their starters.
All of them.
In the second half.
All of them.
To make sure that they kept the number one pick to get Jameis Winston.
And yes. At that time, they already knew it was Jameis. They knew it wasn't Mariota, or they just knew they needed a quarterback and they wanted the top to pick.
Well,
one
I'm sure they had to do all their research, but okay. Like, they just wanted number one.
Well, you know, the Chargers have said that they were picking Joey Bosa if he was on the board for them. They knew, like, the year before. So I was like, okay.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Tanking, folks, it's real.
Yeah,
get on the movement.
Yeah, but I think what we literally meant was,
when you are mathematically eliminated, it makes sense, yes, for you to then play your rookies. And obviously, when you lose, it's not nearly as bad because you technically win because you get a better draft pick.
Right.
That's what we mean.
Yeah. Fair enough. Good.
Or now that alternatively, we've covered that. What we mean is
tanking is good.
Going down to the nearest used army station and buying an actual tank.
In case anyone wasn't clear, that's all we were talking about with tanking. Acquiring an army tank by any means
when
necessary.
Teams need to tank, that's what we mean.
Oh boy, we got to talk about the college football playoffs. Did the committee get it right, Trevor? Did they get it right? Are the right four teams in?
Wow, what a loaded question that is.
I'm giving it to you straight. I want to hear the raw takes.
Right. I think that for the system, the way that it is set up, they got it right.
Agreed.
But, now, do I wish the system was different? Yes.
Yes.
But for the system that exists in our current state, the year 2018, in the year of our Lord, they made the right decision on the four teams that are playing for the national title.
And by that, you mean Notre Dame had to be in because they're undefeated and they played at least a semi-tough schedule.
Correct. Because here's the debate, right? This is the debate we get into. Who the best four teams? The best four teams are not in. They're not. They didn't pick the best four teams. They picked the four most deserving teams. And I understand that there's a line that you teeter between deserving and best because, okay, like, for example, I said on Twitter, and everybody got all in a hissy fit over this, and I said, Georgia's one of the four best teams in the country. It's a fact. Ask Nick Saban the team that he doesn't want to play the most. It's Georgia. Kirby Smart wasn't lying.
Right. He basically said that, Saban.
Right. And so Georgia is one of the best teams in the country. I would say they are one of the four best teams in the country. But the problem is that people are like, they lost twice. And the other argument that people say of, they had their chance to get into the playoff. It was playing against Alabama in the SEC championship game. And to that I say, okay, so they lose to the number one team in the country, which everyone thought that they would. Because here's, like, you have to understand this. If Georgia's ranked four, okay, and they play the number one team in the country, who do you think's going to win, okay? The favorites in the game are going to be Alabama. So if the team that was number one beat them and you already knew that that was a thing and nothing changed your mind except they have a loss now because they played the number one team in the country, guess what? They're still the number four team in the country.
Sure.
That doesn't change anything. Now, again, conference titles, deserving, win, like quote-unquote winning your games, whatever, all of that goes into the equation. I'm just saying, if you wanted the best four teams in, they didn't get the best four teams in. They got the four most deserving teams of the system the way that it is set up right now. Got in. So they did a good job for staying true to the system that they created. They didn't put the best four teams in.
Right.
So
that's always going to be the big struggle with me, is that I don't think anybody would debate Georgia's one of the best four teams. I don't know if anybody would debate
that. There were a lot of people that debated the best four teams because all they say is they've lost twice. They've lost twice. They've lost twice. Bullshit. If you think Georgia plays Notre Dame right now, who wins?
Right. In Vegas, we agree. Georgia's going to win.
No 100%.
Question. So, and I think the same thing with Oklahoma. I mean, it would be a more interesting game for sure, I think. But I think Georgia, you know, same thing. I honestly, you put Georgia up against anybody in the country and other than Alabama and Clemson, and they're probably favored. Like,
hey, real quick, though, just from a scouting perspective, and I know he's not draft eligible this year, Jake Fromm was so awesome.
Oh my gosh. So much better. He outplayed too. It wasn't even close. I never expected that.
That kid is so good.
How are they going to, what are they going to do? Fields is going to leave then, right? Because you can't sit Jake Fromm.
So at the beginning of the year, you and I had this little debate back and forth. And remember, I told you that they're going to bench Fromm in the middle of the year and they're going to play Fields.
Or at some point, I think you said, yeah.
Because Fields
or,
is now
or gonna, you said Fields was going to leave.
Or he's going to leave.
Right.
And he's 100% going to leave. He has to leave.
From what I've heard, dude thinks very well of himself. And I don't mean that as a slight. You know, he's good.
Number one recruit in the country, right, you know?
Exactly.
But that's the thing. It's like, what are you going to Georgia for? Other than maybe getting the bag on the side, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So, like, but holy cow, man. Fromm had multiple the touchdown pass that he had from like 35 yards out, where if you could picture on screen, he threw it to his right. Oh my goodness, what a pass that was.
I was
floored at how perfect that pass was.
What's frustrating is that why I really wanted to see Georgia win, and I don't even care, you know, who wins national championship or anything, but like I wanted to see Georgia win because I wanted them to be in, because my goodness, Georgia-Alabama in the first rematch would be amazing. Like, I mean, we would just have – I just think Alabama's going to crush Oklahoma, I'm just going to be honest.
Here's the thing, man. You know, people are saying like, oh, nobody wants to see the rematch again. Like,
y'all would watch it. Like, everybody's like, a liar.
Well, that's 100% true, but we're about to get Alabama-Clemson part four, right? What is it, part four, part three, whatever it is?
Four. Yeah, four.
You know?
I know, and everybody will watch that.
People are saying, oh, give somebody else a shot. You're about to play Clemson, Alabama. Yeah. About to play for the title for like the fourth year in a row.
You know who's saying that? Other ACC teams or other, you know, teams that are jealous of their position, 100%. But they're tuning in for that game because it's amazing every time they play. So, and same thing with Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah.
To me, I hate not having guys like Jake Fromm and DeAndre Swift and Riley Ridley. And the way Isaac Nauta played in that game, man, he is going to be such a great prospect whenever his time comes, if he doesn't declare this year. And DeAndre Walker had an unbelievable game. Like, I want to see those got that level talent team. Like, and part of this is, selfishly as a draft guy, but like, I want to see that type of a team. And Notre Dame's got some good prospects, no doubt. Like, I'm excited to watch Notre Dame on that stage. But like, man, not like Georgia. Like,
more than even me wanting to see Georgia versus Alabama again, because it's such a great matchup every time they play. I really wanted to see, at about like halftime of that game, I really got my wheels turning in my head, and I really wanted to see Georgia play Clemson, because Georgia manipulated the youthful inexperience of Tua. They manipulated the crap out of him. And he got exposed in a lot of inexperienced way. Not that he's not talented. I'm saying that he got his inexperience against real competition got exposed against
you Georgia. Saw it against LSU and you saw it against Georgia.
And I really wanted to see that against Trevor Lawrence. Really wanted to see it, and now we don't get it. But oh well, we'll probably get Trevor Lawrence versus Alabama. So it's all right.
It'll still
but.
Be fun. Now Trevor Lawrence, you know, true freshman, obviously. Let's just talk about Clemson for a second, because I think Clemson has the tendency to kind of sleepwalk through portions of their games against, especially against some of the competition they play, and it kind of lulls us into sleeping that this isn't that formidable of a team. I don't know, man. Like, they looked like amazing against Pitt for like two drives, and then like went to sleep for the rest of the half, basically. And it was just this weird kind of, like, they weren't focused. There was like some mistakes, but like they were always in control still, and they ended up winning big. They scored like a bunch of points in the fourth quarter, but like in the third couldn't do anything. And just a weird performance. I don't know if you saw any of it, but to me, I look on paper and I say, how does Notre Dame beat Clemson? They can throw the ball better than obviously Pitt did, and they can throw the ball okay, but like, I think you got to be able to wing it around to beat Clemson. Like, personal opinion, I think Clemson wins this game. I'm not saying Notre Dame can't win this game. I'm not going there. Like, I think they could win it. Notre Dame's a good team. As much as we might not think they're one of the best four or five, they're still a good team, and absolutely, Clemson.
Yeah, I would say that Notre Dame's the sixth best team, or like sixth or seventh best team. I would say it's not like they're bad,
right? Right, they're just not
Notre Dame versus Ohio State's kind of a toss up to me. It's kind of just whatever team shows up, you know.
Sure, right. But yep, I completely agree. No, and I think this is gonna be a super competitive game. Also, if Clemson plays their best game and Notre Dame plays their best game, Clemson will blow them out. Because if Clemson plays their best game, I'm sorry, Notre Dame can't hang with them. But Clemson can be a little bit, you know, they can be a little bit inconsistent. I think that in the national championship games they've played really, really good, but at the same time, you blew two coverages against JJ Howard years ago, and that kind of stuff has happened in big games for them before. So, you know, I think that Clemson, if they play their best game, this won't be close. But Notre Dame is tough and scrappy enough that if you make mistakes and let them hang around, I would start to get anxiety as a Clemson fan. Don't you agree?
No, I think that they have the talent to do it. I don't know if they have the athletes to hang with Clemson is the thing. You know, Higgins and ETN and just I don't know. I don't know if Notre Dame can contain those guys. Right. So that's kind of where I really give the edge to Clemson. And then, of course, you know, defensive line. It's funny because I feel like I haven't even mentioned Cleveland Farrell. Wait, it's not Farrell. What is it? Farrell?
Farrell. Yeah. Good memory there. Yeah.
No, it's Farrell, right? Yeah, Farrell. So like you feel like I haven't mentioned Farrell's name much at all this year, and I kind of was like looking up his stats a week or so ago, and he's got double digit sacks, he's got more tackles for loss than he ever has. It's like it's literally a career year for the dude, and I like haven't even said a word from him because of what you're saying. Clemson's schedule, they've been able to sleepwalk through the entire thing,
right?
So kind of sucks, but
right,
yeah. Whatever, what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah,
now they get to wake up, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, want to give a shout-out to our boys over at MyBookie, folks. Sure, watching football is fun, but it's more entertaining when you have some action on the games. Guys, you've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on: college basketball and football, NBA, NHL, custom props, and even esports, you name it. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. I recommend these guys because I really trust them. MyBookie has been in the business for years. They've got great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll, and it's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention in DM, not to mention that they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Locked On is the promo code, and to get 50% deposit bonus. That's Locked On. Locked On is the promo code. You play, you win, you get paid. To me, Clemson is so interesting, Trevor, because there is all this firepower, but they don't get any of the like hype that Alabama guys have gotten, and rightfully so, because Alabama's been unbelievable this year. But here's Clemson, undefeated, obviously not playing as high-level competition, no question there, but really rolling over people last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I know their defense didn't play well against South Carolina, but rolling over people last couple weeks for the most part. And Trevor Lawrence playing at such a high level, but it feels like with Tua and Kyler Murray, it's been kind of overshadowed in some ways. But for a true freshman, I don't know that I've seen many play better than Trevor Lawrence in my time covering football. So he's really impressive, and the moment doesn't seem to faze him. You've got one of the best running backs in football in Travis Etienne right now, who is just incredible for Clemson. Tons of receivers that are so talented. I mean, we'll be talking about this Clemson group of receivers in a similar breath to the Alabama group of receivers when they come out. I mean, maybe not quite with the speed that some of the Alabama guys have, but these Clemson guys are like as fast as the Bama guys are. That's how these guys are in contested catch situations and after the catch. Super, super talented players. And T. Higgins and Amari Rodgers, probably two of the bigger names, both sophomores, so they'll be draft eligible next year. Justin Ross has been unbelievable for them down the stretch this season. He's a true freshman, already contributing at a high level. So
crazy.
Tons of talent on this team. And then the defensive line against a Notre Dame offensive line that's one of the best coach groups in all of college football. That's probably going to be one of the matchups to watch in this whole entire college football postseason.
Yep. No, I agree. It's going to be fun. It's going to be more fun than people think. It really is. I understand that like Clemson is the favorite, and like I would bet on Clemson too, but it will still be, I think, much more of an entertaining game than people are giving it credit for.
How about Alabama-Oklahoma? I saw Alabama's favored by like, her opening line was like 14.5 or something like that. I don't know.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Can Oklahoma even get a stop on Alabama? Like,
that's the big thing. Like, I think Oklahoma can score plenty. Like, I think they're going to light it up, but even against Alabama's defense, I think it's going to be fine. I think they're going to be able to score enough points, but
how many points do you think Oklahoma scores?
What's the over-under on this game? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front of you.
Do you have any idea? All right. We'll have to figure that out. But
keep talking. I'll find it.
I bet that the final for this game is going to be like high 30s to low 40s, something. Like, that's what the score is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alabama
scores. Unless Alabama got punched in the mouth by Georgia and was like, okay, we're never doing that again. And then somehow just becomes monsters. I really do see this game being almost a one possession game.
Really? I think Alabama's going to kill them. I think they're going to score in the 60s. Yep. I think Alabama will score in the 60s. Oklahoma will finish with like 35, 38. I think they'll beat them by like 30-something.
No, I think it'll be like either a 7 or a 10-point game.
I mean, explain to me how Oklahoma forces a turnover forces a punt or a turnover, for that matter.
I don't know. I mean, they are still human beings on the other side. Weirder stuff has happened, I guess.
But, like, they can't stop, like, WVU or Texas from scoring, some of those other teams, like, half the time. Like, Alabama's offense is just a straight machine, and they aren't going to play like they played against Georgia ever again, in my opinion. So, I don't know. It's hard for me to look at this and say Alabama doesn't hang 60, because Oklahoma's defense is one of the worst things I've ever seen, and Alabama's going to take it personally. Like, they're not overlooking anybody in this game. We know that. So, I don't know, man. The only way it doesn't is if Tua is hurt, which we still don't know anything about that, do we?
I think he's hurt, dude.
You think he doesn't play at all?
I think that there is a decent chance that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback for this game, and then Tua would be the quarterback for the national championship game.
That would be crazy. That'd be 5 weeks of recovery time for Tua, so that part makes sense. Tua did post something on Instagram that sounded somewhat mournful, but I don't want to read too much between the lines there, but that will change the discussion. Let me just say that. That will change the discussion, because great story about Jalen Hurts and everything. He's not Tua, and I don't think it'll matter against Oklahoma.
That's the thing. Like, I think the reason why they might rest Tua is because
they don't even
Jalen can beat Oklahoma.
Imagine being able to just be that confident you're going to beat the number four team in the country without your starting quarterback.
Well, you know.
But show me the lie at the same time, because I think you're spot on with that.
You know?
Okay, so obviously the teams that got bumped.
Hey, hold on. Yes. Can we talk really quick about how Scott Frost put UCF at number five on his poll?
I knew you were going to bring this
up. An absolute coward.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Oh my
God. Last year's
God.
Team was better. That's all he thinks.
But here's the thing, John.
He still put him higher than anybody else, right?
Right, but if he didn't put this UCF. Okay, all right, so Scott Frost put, I believe his final. So Scott Frost, for everybody that for whatever reason might not know, he was the head coach at UCF last year when there was everything about them being national champions and undefeated and all that stuff, which I have no problem with. I don't care. So he goes to Nebraska this year, and his final college football poll, he had UCF number five. UCF still undefeated, just as they were last year. Okay, he had Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3. Ohio State 4.
Okay. And UCF 5.
And then UCF is 5. I understand why he put Ohio State in, okay? He put it in because it benefits him, right? If Ohio State gets more consideration and representation in the playoff as a Big Ten team, that helps him. That helps Nebraska. That helps the conference. I get it. But if you are saying that that's the reason why he did it, then why the hell do I believe anything that he said last year other than him just saying it to benefit himself? Because here is my counter to what you said there.
I agree with that.
Was last year's UCF team better than this year's? Yes, 100%. But the fact that you then opened the door for that to be ever a debate from the guy who argued it last year, the UCF can now say that you can literally say this now for every single year with UCF that they don't deserve to get in.
Right.
You can always say that they're not as talented. They're not going to be. So right. If he put them at number five, that means that the door is forever open every time they ever run the table from now on to not put them in the playoff, because you just think, oh, well, they're not as talented. Notre Dame, for crying out loud, Notre Dame went undefeated and he put him at 3.
Yeah.
UCF goes undefeated and he puts him at 5. So what did he basically just say there?
Notre Dame is better than UCF.
That Notre Dame is better than UCF.
And
okay,
more
well,
deserving.
Last year, what was it? We ran the table. We could play anybody. Give us a chance. Right. And now he literally just goes absolutely so far back on what he said last year. It's just comical. I have no dog in this fight. I don't care. UCF.
Oh my gosh. You care.
Like claiming the national title, whatever, I don't care. I just think that it's really, really funny that the guy who is the biggest advocate and the knight in shining armor that led them to this last year that everyone rallied around, the second it was advantageous for him, he just turns his back on him.
Yeah.
Him putting UCF as his final team this year would have made no difference. In fact, put him in over Notre Dame.
Right.
Just put him in Notre Dame.
Yeah, that part I agree with. I get him thinking like last year's team was better and that this year's team without Milton.
But now you open the door.
Right.
To forever say that UCF isn't worth it.
By the way, are all these guys' ballots like available to the public or did that get leaked or something?
No, I think all of them are.
Oh, really? I've never seen anything about that before.
I think. Huh. Get Florida 8, shout out.
Speaking of Florida, this Michigan game, how you feeling?
Well, Michigan was the only team that Florida is going to be able to beat. So I think that Michigan-Florida is super boring of a matchup, but Michigan was the only New Year's Six team that they would have been able to beat. Like UCF, I think, would have beat Florida. So,
yeah. Oh, you think?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Without their starting quarterback, I don't know. They're pretty tight with Memphis.
No, Mac is still good. Mac's still good. But anyways, yeah, I think Florida beats Michigan, but Michigan was the only – let me make sure I get this right.
I only care about these matchups from a prospect standpoint. You know that. And because I don't have a dog in the college football fight, period. I would like to see Florida win this game just because, you know, I've always kind of liked Florida. But, you know, outside of that, I want to see Ja'Kai Polite against Runyon, the tackle, the senior for Michigan, who, you know, people are talking up and stuff like that. I want to see what that matchup looks like for him. Polite has faced good tackles all season, so like this is nothing new for him necessarily in terms of that we don't have it on tape. But
can't wait for Polite to declare and not go to the bowl.
Oh yeah, well if that happens, then I guess this whole segment's screwed. But given that given that that hasn't happened. That's how I feel about it. I'm excited about that particular matchup. But just in general, the Michigan offensive line's turnaround is a big reason why they were more successful toward the end of the year. Obviously, Florida's strength is their defensive line. So when I look at it from a scouting standpoint, that's kind of, I guess, what I'm excited about in that game. Okay.
That'll be good.
Also, before we move on, but this LSU-UCF game, mm-hmm. seems like a very contrasted, like UCF can't really stop people right now. Memphis run up a score. They've had some difficulties, you know, giving up points. LSU can't really score, but that secondary is freaking good. Like, that's going to be a whole new test for UCF. Having said that, Christian Fulton is hurt. He had surgery. He will not play in the bowl game. Greedy Williams, declared for the draft, will not play in the bowl game. So you have Grant Delpit still.
No, UCF's winning this game.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Like I would have thought that even with Greedy and Fulton.
Wow. I would not have thought that with those two. I just don't know if there's anybody on UCF that shakes those two consistently. But
I think that every time, and yet the fact that it's so natural for that offense to score points, they just score more than other teams.
You realize that if UCF wins this game, we will never hear to beat two SEC teams. We'll never hear the end of it.
Not that's fine.
The end of it now.
That's fine. All right. Whatever.
Yeah, you're still not getting it in until they expand to 8. So when they expand to 8, I'm excited for them to get in. But you could go ahead and beat up LSU without their corners and with a schmuck quarterback. But if y'all think you're doing that against Bama, keep tripping. But no, I get the argument though. I want UCF to be able to play in the playoff. I don't want to see them in one of the top 4 spots because I feel like I know what's going to happen 9 times out of 10. So. Maybe I'd be wrong. That's why I want to see him in the bottom 4 when we expand to 8. You know, I'm open to the fact that I might be wrong. Just don't want to risk it when we only get 3 playoff games. So, how about the Rose Bowl? To me, I didn't even like the matchup. I know, obviously, it has to happen. But, like, what does Washington literally stand a chance against Ohio State? Like,
This is
a perfect matchup for Ohio State. Like, a non-threatening offense, really.
Yes, like, yes.
Non-threatening quarterback, and they struggled.
Didn't Washington win the – what was the game?
10-3? Wasn't there a defensive touchdown?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, like, it's – I mean, Ohio State could beat them by 30 if they play the game. Now
Haskins
Ohio State could turn it over.
Is going to shellack these boys.
I mean, scouting perspective, Haskins against Washington secondary is fun, but, like, come on. Let's get real. Like, I just – sorry, I have no belief in the Pac-12 whatsoever. I think they're garbage this year. Also, same thing, Sugar Bowl. Georgia, Texas, like, come on, man. Like, Georgia's going to have to play bad. And Georgia's played bad sometimes this season, but they're going to have to play, like, hungover for not getting in the college football playoff bad, right?
Well, it is January 1st. The hangover could be real, John.
Could be very real. That's true.
Could be real.
I can't, though. Like, Texas? Like, I just don't know if any of these big bowls are going to be that close. Like, I don't know. Kentucky, Penn State? Oh, yawn. Mississippi State, Iowa might have some potential. It'll be a tight game for sure. I don't know. We have plenty of time to talk about these bowls as we get closer and closer to them and preview some of the prospect matchups more specifically. But I think the main takeaway from this podcast is that, yes, they got it right in terms of what they should have done and the teams that should be in for the playoff. We would like to see the process and the system changed enough so that we don't have to have these brutal discussions, you know, about – well, the best teams weren't in because they weren't. I don't think anybody can say that with a straight face, in all honesty, say the best 4 teams were in the playoffs, because everybody knows Georgia's one of those teams, and they proved it against Alabama, and it wasn't enough. And I get that, but to me, not having them in there makes the college football playoff worse than it would be if they were in. And to me, as a neutral fan, I just want to see the best games, and I think we were kind of robbed of that. Not because they made a mistake, but just because of the way the system's set up. So we'll continue to unpack those matchups more and more as we move forward. We will also continue to look at prospects that are declaring. Senior Bowl is a big show coming out tomorrow. It's going to be really cool. They're going to announce a lot of new players that are going to be there and things like that. We're going to talk all about that on tomorrow's show. And then, of course, we'll preview and look ahead to the NFL games on Thursday. Should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. As always, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.